Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and why is Chris Christie still backing his Port Authority appointee, David Sampson? We'll ask that question and more now with our Christie Tracker correspondent, Matt Katz, and WNYC senior editor for politics and policy, Andrea Bernstein, whose beat includes the Port Authority. Hi, Matt. Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Andrea, remind us about these suggestions of conflict of interest you've been reporting on regarding Sampson's public role at Port Authority and the business it gives to his private law firm.
Well, it's really hard to keep it all straight. But essentially what we've been reporting is that while he has worked in an official capacity as the chair of the Port Authority, and, you know, I think that sometimes it's people think chairman of the board, they think a remote figure. Sampson wasn't like that. He came to the Port Authority frequently. He met with staff. He was in meetings. He examined budgets. He put together deals. So that's the sort of background. And some of the ones that we have been looking at are, for example, his law firm was working for the South Jersey Transportation Authority, which runs the Atlantic City Airport. At the same time, Sampson was putting together a deal at the Port Authority to take over the airport. Or in another case, Sampson was pushing a plan to upgrade the Harrison Path Station at the same time that his private law firm was representing clients who owned land nearby who stood to have a financial gain. So this is these are sort of questions that keep coming up, and there are many, many other examples. We've got a new one today about New Jersey Transit on our website, which I'll just sort of advise people to go and look at. But the question is sort of, you know, why does this keep happening? And, you know, you get into the technical question of, did he recuse himself? Did he not vote? His staff has pointed out there were cases where he didn't actually vote, but dozens of people at this point have now spoken to me, and records show that there are many, many instances where he took official action as Port Authority chief, where his law firm, where he's a named partner, had a financial interest.
And Matt, some of Sampson's fingerprints were on the Bridgegate emails that broke that story wide open last month, right? Wasn't there something about Sampson retaliated?
Right. The other figures in Bridgegate referred to the fact that Sampson was going to retaliate against the New York side. The emails clearly indicate that Sampson was aware of the lane closures from at least the time they happened. And it's interesting because Sampson kept his job while others specifically Bill Stepien, Christie's chief political advisor. The emails didn't indicate that Stepien necessarily knew about the lane closures from the get-go, but he was fired. He was obviously shown making disparaging comments about the mayor of Fort Lee, and that was ostensibly the reason. But, I mean, if the issue here and if the corruption here is these lane closures, Sampson's fingerprints are actually on it more than one guy who lost his job. And yet, at the time when Christie was making decisions about how to clean up this mess, some of his advisors, I'm told, advised him, this is a January 8th when all of this came out, told him to get rid of Sampson, and he decided not to. So four people have so far lost their jobs, and Sampson did not. And then last night on his monthly radio show, Christie was asked if he stood by Sampson, and he said yes. He said he stood by him strongly and firmly.
And here is that exchange with host Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5.
Do you still stand by Sampson as your appointee?
Strongly, firmly. And I disagree with Pat Foy.
Not the first time.
No. And I suspect not the last.
So what happens at that agency when you have New York's appointee and New Jersey's appointee who clearly have an issue with one another?
Well, it's just public now.
So there's never been any love lost between the two of them?
No.
So Have you talked to Samson about it?
Sure, many times. Yeah.
And you know, about this latest incident?
I haven't spoken to him about the latest incident, but the latest incident is nothing new. So we've had this conversation many times. And ultimately, with some of these disputes, Governor Cuomo and I have to resolve them. And we do, because Andrew Cuomo and I have a great relationship. And we've worked extraordinarily well together over the last 3 years, and we'll continue to as long as I'm governor and he's governor.
So you said something interesting.
But it's, you know, it's a dysfunctional agency, as I've said before, in that respect.
So Governor Christie on the radio yesterday, and that latest incident, Andrea, that he's referring to, is that we have the executive director of the Port Authority, Patrick Foy, appointed by Governor Cuomo. Samson is Christie's top guy at the bi-state agency. Patrick Foy appointed by Cuomo saying Samson is not morally fit for his leadership role at the bi-state agency. What prompted that? Why did Foy go there?
Well, he was asked by the Daily News in an editorial board meeting about whether he thought that Samson had the moral authority to run the bi-state agency. And Foy answered, no. He said, that's my position, but I'm not going to elaborate. So he's a frank kind of a guy. I mean, the whole thing about the vendetta is very, very interesting because the way that the Bridgegate scandal broke, just to back people up, is that Pat Foy wrote this very, very sharp email to the commissioners of the Port Authority and to Bill Baroni and David Wildstein saying these lane closures are potentially illegal, they're aberrant, I am reversing them right away. And he did so. As soon as he sent that email, Bill Baroni got in touch with Samson. He said, General, can I call you now? They call him General because he served as Attorney General. David Wildstein then sent the email that we, number of us, have been pondering over, Samson is retaliating. And then we see that 4 days later, Samson is heavily criticizing Foy to the vice chair. He said, Pat Foy is playing in traffic. He made a bad mistake. So for the Christie people, they have seen his blowing the whistle on Bridgegate as all part of the vendetta. And one of the things that we saw in the email is that the New Jersey people do not like Pat Foy. Many of the things that they called him, we can't say on the radio, a piece of excrement, a bad guy. Who does he think he is? Captain America. I mean, they sort of see him as this person who is sort of getting in the way of their smooth functioning.
So Matt Katz, bottom line, if Samson's up to his ears in Bridgegate and there are all these conflict of interest allegations and details emerging, why is Chris Christie still backing David Samson when Christie's got problems of his own?
I mean, this is maybe now the biggest question in Bridgegate. We think that there's a couple of things going on. First, he sees Samson as a father figure. He's something of a mentor to him. Debate prep when Christie was first running for governor was in Samson's office. He ran his transition team. This is somebody who he's been very close to since he was the federal prosecutor in New Jersey, and Samson, the general, was the top law enforcement official for the state. And they've joked that they both had a death threat from a gang at the same time together, but they're clearly very tight. So there's that, and then there's also how this looks after the governor made the decision to keep him on as chairman. He wasn't going to go back from that. His advisors say that once a few weeks passed and some of these stories about Samson started cropping up, it was too late to then just can him. Then it looks messy. Then it looks like they're cleaning things up after the fact. So he is, for better or for worse, from a political perspective, he appears to be here to stay.
I want to touch on one more thing before you go, which is that Christie's had a heck of a week. Heck of a month, heck of a year, but heck of a week. The former Sandy Savior is taking heat for the slow recovery from the storm. Lately, he's been holding town hall meetings, particularly, traditionally a political strength of Christie's. How are those going for the governor?
They're mixed. I mean, on one hand, he said two. He was asked a total of, I think, 28 questions, and he got zero on Bridgegate. So Christie's team is thrilled about that. It indicates that maybe there is a disconnect between what people in New Jersey care about and what reporters are talking about and are interested in. On the other hand, he held a town hall meeting last week, his first of the two since Bridgegate, and he was greeted with protesters outside, with signs like "Bruce Springsteen hates you." Bruce Springsteen, of course, is Christie's idol. And inside, he was heckled a bit, and some people were talking back to him. He ended up, in the end, largely kind of charming over the crowd, but he faced a more hostile situation than he has in the past. And people were asking why their Sandy relief aid hasn't come in yet, why there have been delays, and why there's paperwork gets lost. A lot of questions about this company that we first reported was fired in January, HGI. They're the biggest Sandy contractor, and people were yelling, why was HGI fired? Why was HGI fired? And Christie said, I'm trying to answer the question. He never really did answer the question. We finally got some documents last night that indicate that there were fundamental disagreements between the company and HGI, and now it looks like lawyers are dealing with this. The company got – but there's still unanswered questions because the company had a three-year deal for $70 million to distribute residential grants for homeowners and others, and they've been paid about half of that for just 8 months of work, and they want more money on top of that. So questions why they're getting so much money, questions about whether the problems that HGI caused or was involved in, whether that's been fixed, whether who's running the program now. So these are all the sorts of Sandy issues surrounding him, and he's got another town hall meeting next week. So in this, and that one is in Toms River, also down the shore. So he's not necessarily running from it. I think in some ways, from a political perspective, it's good for him. He's effective when he kind of addresses these issues head on and lets people take the microphone and tell them their complaints and concerns. So we'll see what happens next week.
And I just wanted to say, to bring it back to David Sampson, there's a Sandy connection with David Sampson as well, which is easy to forget. But one of the reasons that we all started looking at the Sampson conflicts of interest was because of the separate scandal involving the mayor of Hoboken saying the lieutenant governor threatened to withhold Sandy aid if they didn't approve a development project in Hoboken, and that project was for a Sampson client. So he, and that is also under investigation. So the sort of Christie liability is not contained by what we learned from the Bridgegate files. There's also a Sandy element too, and this is sort of a political strain for the governor because clearly his national reputation was built on his Sandy role. And when that starts coming under scrutiny and investigation and why did he do things, it becomes a difficult situation.
Andrea Bernstein, WNYC Senior Editor for Politics and Policy. Matt Katz, who covers the Christie administration for WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Still to come this morning, why 2014 is shaping up as a watershed year, even more than last year, for the marijuana legalization movement, and a New York City trivia quiz with the author of the book, I Never Knew That About New York City, Christopher Wynn. Now, this will include the chance for you to stump him and me with your New York City trivia questions, so get them ready, and we'll do that in a little while. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay tuned.